Jason, the rest of the NFL made a big splash at the trade deadline. The Bears in the NFC North really didn't. We'll talk about that more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Jason, the Bears wound up with an edge rusher, and it was, can you give me a drum roll? Not anybody anybody'd ever heard of.
Was it Myles Garrett?
No, it was not. It was
Max Crosby?
Nope.
Micah Parsons? Did he get traded?
A second?
And in the division?
No, it was a guy named Joe Tryon Shoyinka, who had played 31 snaps, I believe, with the Cleveland Browns this year. The Bears had a pick swap to get there. They gave the Browns a sixth. They got a seventh back. Very, very low price there, but he certainly doesn't solve any of their issues. I think you and I are both okay with them just kind of working the margins this year, acknowledging that their draft picks going forward are more important. But we had Ryan Poles tell us today that that was pretty much the plan anyway.
Yeah, I think we both shrug a little bit at this acquisition of Tryon Shoyinka, and maybe the Bears will know something that the Browns and the Bucks and everybody else didn't, and get good play out of him. Maybe playing opposite Montez Sweat and getting a lot of opportunities will help. But more so than what we think of that move, I'm going to speak for both of us. I'm going to speak, you know, when I say we, I mean me and Patrick, not the royal we. Okay. We like the moves that they didn't make. Mm-hmm. We like what they didn't spend. And stop me at any point if I'm not speaking for you here and you want to diverge from this, Patrick. But we both see them as 5-3 is pretty good for the Bears. It's not pretty good league-wide. That's not even in the playoff field right now. And they're not one big acquisition away from being a title contender.
No.
They're one big acquisition away from being a wild card, but I don't think that is justification for selling off future assets that you still need. This team is not close enough to make the kind of move that Green Bay made before the season, trading for Micah Parsons. This team is going to need its first-round pick and its second-round pick and its salary cap maneuverability next year in order to have something that's going to last. And one of the things that Ryan Poles talked about with us Wednesday morning was this timeline to get everything in place. And that timeline shrinks when you start sinking huge future assets into a team to win now. Now it's like it better happen quickly. The coaching staff is still kind of acclimating and in transition and getting the team the way that it wants it to be. But once you start committing like that, financially and future draft pick wise, then it better happen now. And that wouldn't be a good position to put Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen in.
No, as we sit here now, even if the Bears beat the Giants on Sunday, and we'll get to that game later, that'll get them to 6-3 with 8 games to play. And if you want to make the playoffs, you've got to go at least 4-4. And I don't know if this is a team that split games against the Packers twice, the Vikings, the Lions, the Steelers, the Eagles, the 49ers, and the Browns.
I think you'll have trouble finding 3 wins out of those last 8 to get you to 9-8. That's going to be a challenge.
No, I think it is. And I think there's value in obviously trying to win as many games as you can. And, I mean, this is a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game since 2011. So I'm fine with them trying to get better. But, you know, their definition of better, I think better is going to come naturally. I think they believe that Caleb Williams is on the upswing. I think they believe, quite honestly, that their defense probably can't get much worse. And, you know, if they're going to be playing their best football in December, which is what Ben Johnson's been preaching for a month, the way to get there is to hope that the evolution of your quarterback continues and probably goes faster than it's been going, and to hope that the development of some of their young players continues as well. One of the things Ryan Poles said today was, he pointed to two guys who are kind of obscure a little bit, I think, in the big picture of things. He pointed to Noah Sewell, who's essentially their third linebacker. And who was the other one?
Austin Booker, right?
And Austin Booker, who has played, you know, not many healthy snaps for the Bears over 2 years. And he said, I think you'll notice that this coaching staff has closed the gap, a pretty significant gap, he said, by improving guys like that. And I heard that as a shot at the previous coaching staff, which is, you know, they invest, you know, Bulls invested in these young players who didn't get better under Matt Eberflus, but appear, at least in his mind, to be getting better under this new staff. And, you know, as they're looking forward, I think they're hoping that that applies to some of the young players on their teams and the guys that they would draft with those picks that otherwise could have been traded out.
It takes a lot of faith to see all of the going that way, and that, but that's kind of the typical ask.
Yeah.
At Halas Hall is patience and faith.
Not that patience this year is a bad thing. I think, like we said, you and I are both all on board with them not committing too much.
Patience right now makes sense. Mm-hmm. With what they've got, but we talked about this maybe a month ago, that their big trade deadline acquisition was going mid-season acquisition, quote unquote, was going to have to be a better version of Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. That was your best way to improve, and that costs you nothing in terms of future pick. That dictates the future of your team at large anyway. Caleb Williams is right around at that point where he's, you know, 8 games in, about halfway through the season, about where you expect to see things really click with a young quarterback and a new offensive play caller in Ben Johnson. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he uses this game Sunday against the Giants as kind of an on-ramp to really showing what he can do against a bunch of good opponents coming up this month and next.
It's a really important month for him, I think. And it's because I think that he will get the truest tests he's gotten all year. And
yeah, he's lit up 2 teams, Cowboys and the Bengals, the 2 worst defenses in the league. There's more that he needs to show.
And if he's on the upswing, you know, in December, then the Bears really have reason to think they have a playoff chance. And if he's not, they're not.
And a long-term future.
Yo, I mean, long-term is more important than short-term.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the pass rush briefly. It looks like Austin Booker's probably going to be the starter at end. Polls said, hey, you got to look at Joe Tryon Shoyinka's film in Tampa. And, of course, that's what you got to look at because, you know, 31 snaps with the other team.
Right.
And
there isn't any film to watch.
Those numbers are a little more promising. He had 15 sacks in 4 years with them. But, you know, somebody asked Todd Bowles, the Bucs coach at the NFL Combine, about him when he was a pending free agent. And he essentially said, yeah, he didn't get to the quarterback enough. Did a lot of the other things right, but we need a defensive end who can get the quarterback to the ground. That, to me, is not particularly promising when we're talking about what the Bears need more than probably anything else right now is somebody who can affect a passer on third down.
Well, the number one guy they need to do that is the guy that they're paying the most, which is Montez Sweat.
And he's been good.
A sack in each of the last 3 games, I believe.
And in the last 4 games, I believe he has 3 sacks and 2 forced fumbles.
Yeah.
And it reminded him of his first month with the team when they traded for him.
The Tez effect, it was called.
And then he didn't do anything, or he did very little last year. I don't know. I still
think
it's
a lot last year. He was very frustrated with how last year went.
Yeah, and I still think it's a big ask to expect him to dominate games. This is a guy who has double-digit sacks once in his life, and it was that year he got traded here. And he's going to get every double team unless teams, you know, look at the film and are really that worried about Dominique Robinson or Austin Booker or Daniel Hardy or Joe Tryon Shoyinka. So it may be a big ask for him, but at least they think he's trending in the right direction.
I think that it is a big ask, but you should make big asks of your highest paid player. Montez Sweat is being paid like a top-tier pass rusher, and that first season, he definitely looked like he was. Last season, 2024, he was hurt, and he was facing double teams, but they all do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all get hurt, all these top pass rushers. Myles Garrett doesn't walk out of there saying, well, I couldn't get any sacks because I was getting double teamed today. That's the next level for Montez Sweat, and he's talked openly about that. He's talked quite a bit about that's the next level for him, is being one of those guys that can do it no matter what a defense throws at you and can just find a way to affect the quarterback. And, Pat, no matter all the moves that they make, even including signing Dio Odengbo in the first place, I mean, they just aren't really going to matter if you don't have at least one star pass rusher, and Montez Sweat has got to be that guy.
That's the other thing that's funny about Dio is, you know, they were really planning on moving him inside on pass downs once Booker got healthy, because he was not good enough on the end.
He wasn't winning one-on-ones, Ben Johnson.
So. Yeah, so when we talk about, oh, well, they got to replace him at defensive end, they were kind of going to replace him either way. But him getting hurt sure does limit their options. You know, it's funny, Jason, even covering the team, when players do well at games we're at, I think we all kind of log that in our brain a little differently than if we saw it on TV. 2023, do you remember the Justin Fields game where in the shadow of his own goalpost by Shaq Barrett?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, 27-17 loss. Joe Tryon, Shoyinka. By the way, we got to give him a nickname. I stumble over his name every time. But Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, 2 sacks in that game. I wonder whether that made an impression on Ryan Poles. At the very least, the price is right, Jason. They didn't give up a whole heck of a lot. Pivoting a little bit, unless you have a big picture, I mean, are we just thinking the Bears are keeping their draft picks, and they're keeping their draft picks because two of the sport's 4 premier positions they need significant help at going forward, and you're not going to get one of those guys. You're not going to get a left tackle. You're not going to get an edge rusher. You're not going to get a quarterback or a corner. You know, they need the first two certainly going forward. You're not going to get that unless you have significant draft capital.
Those are 2 starters.
Yep.
If you trade, you know, first and second round picks are starters. First round picks are theoretically going to become Pro Bowl players for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got 4 of those over the next two drafts, could you, Patrick, find places in the depth chart where you'd like to spend those?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. And if you trade 2 or 3 of those 4 total assets for 26, 27 drafts that I'm talking about for one guy, that doesn't solve 3 to 4 problems. That solves 1 problem.
Right.
And that's the move you make when you think you just need, like Green Bay, you just need that 1 star player. Micah Parsons could make all the difference for you. You are that close. That matters more than 2 to 4 future starters that you could get in the upcoming drafts. That just isn't the position the Bears are in. And good for them to see it that way.
Yeah.
Good for them not to get caught up in 5-3 against really the 5 wins all coming against teams that have losing records and having some restraint. I think that that is the number one thing I'd point to and say this was a successful trade deadline for the Bears was looking at their own roster with clear eyes and showing some restraint because of it.
And do you know why we know this, by the way, in terms of not trying to microwave a team before it's ready? I think we lived through it. In 2018, you know, they trade for Khalil Mack. They go 12-4. They win, you know, they win the division, and it's the best season they've had in a long time. But it wasn't sustainable, and it wasn't sustainable because they still didn't have a quarterback, as it turned out. You know, they didn't have wide receivers of note. You know, there were some of these positions that those 2 first-round picks that they gave up for Khalil Mack certainly would have helped to fix in the long term. Turning the page a little bit toward the Giants, Jason, I think you and I both agree that, you know, this is one of the more nondescript teams they'll play this year. They've got Jackson Dart. They don't have Malik Nabers. They don't have who's the running back from ASU?
Scadaboo?
Yeah, they don't have Scadaboo. What do we think the challenge is this week, short of a really stout pass rush that they bring to town?
Well, that's a big one. But also Jackson Dart. I mean, you don't. When you face a young quarterback, a first or second year quarterback like that who has shown potential, mm-hmm. you don't know when and where it will show up again.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really volatile thing to try to predict. Is Jackson Dart going to come out and play like a rookie and throw 3 interceptions and fumble down the front of his jersey when Montez Sweat gets to him? Or is he going to surge and, you know, put up a really good game and be a big challenge for you? You really don't know. That's a really unpredictable factor when you're looking at this game. The Giants as a whole, because of the pass rush that they bring, I mean, man, if you had to be good at 2 things, you'd want to be good at quarterback and pass rush. Mm-hmm. And you like their pass rush, and they might or might not be good at quarterback mm-hmm. this weekend. We don't know. It probably helps to be helps you be good at quarterback when the other team doesn't have much of a pass rush and the other team is playing a bunch of backups in the secondary. I mean, that might make things a little easier for Jackson Dart. But in general, the Giants, while they are 2-7, I don't think they're quite the pushover that, say, the Saints were when the Bears played them, where the Saints just have seemingly nothing going for them. The Giants have beaten the Eagles and the Chargers this year.
Yeah, if you look at Jackson Dart in the month of October and then Sunday, his last four games he's had passer ratings of 104, 93, 98, and 107. I mean, those are numbers that you can bank on. He is a rushing weapon as well, Jason. Against the 49ers this week, he had 56 yards on 8 carries.
Yeah, this is basically the same game Caleb Williams just had against the Bengals.
It is. Now, you know, the last two weeks they've lost to the Giants and Eagles by a combined 28 points. So maybe some of that is empty calories, but he's the one you got to watch if you're looking at anybody on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. And the best thing the Bears can do to bring out the worst in Jackson Dart is that pass rush. Mm-hmm. Make him have to make really quick decisions. I always like your chances when you're forcing an inexperienced player to make quick decisions. That is usually – that's the part of takeaways that isn't random.
Right.
There is randomness and luck involved in takeaways, no matter how much every football coach in the history of time would argue against you when you say that. But there is also some creating your own good fortune there.
Make your own luck, Jason.
You can create some by forcing inexperienced players into making bad decisions.
You've got the Bears winning 31-26.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be something where they run away from them.
They're not very good at that in general. Ben Johnson was asked Wednesday about kind of lacking that killer instinct. And he said, you know, when I got here, I told the guys, hey, the scouting report on the Bears franchise is that if the game's close, you'll lose. So they seem to be turning that around. Certainly they've won three really close games this year. But I still think there's reason to be concerned that when it really matters, you know, things could go sideways. They were one Colson Loveland catch and run away from this being a complete disaster of a week.
Yeah, don't forget the run.
Yeah.
As we talked about Sunday, just the catch, probably not enough with no timeouts. We don't know how that turns out if he's not able to run away from the Bengals defense the rest of the way. How do you see the Giants game going?
I don't know, something like 28-24 Bears. So we're in the same area there where I think the Bears defense will you know, probably steal a takeaway or two. And, you know, that's the difference we've seen between them being respectable and it being a circus.
If we rewind to the Saints game, I think that's a decent framework for talking about this game because you're playing at home against a 2-7 team. Mm-hmm. A 2-7 team, by the way, that has been pretty bad defensively overall, like mm-hmm. points allowed. I think where you and I are projecting it is kind of just clearing the bar for them, for the Bears. If instead it's more of a game of, I don't know, 17-14 and it's tight all the way through, that will leave you feeling a lot like you did coming out of the Saints game where even though they won, it was really more discouraging than encouraging about their chances going forward.
Yeah, and so much of what we talk about in terms of Caleb's efficiency or the efficiency of the pass rush, you know, when you get in a game situation where you're up by 10 in the fourth quarter, magically all those numbers seem to turn in your favor. You know, when the Bears can pin their ears back and rush, you know, maybe you'll see Austin Booker with two sacks. Maybe you'll see Montez Sweat, you know, look the way the Bears want him to look. And, you know, when Caleb's up 10 and can pull the ball down on a play-action fake and find a guy wide open, you know, those answers become pretty self-evident.
Yeah. On the flip side of – you know, how they could underwhelm this week. I think if they come out here and do something like 41-10 mm-hmm. to the Giants, even with the Giants being a pretty bad team, that would change my opinion going forward. If the Bears could do that even to a bad team, that would show progress. That would make me more encouraged, even though the schedule is about to get tougher going to Minnesota the week after.
Also, and so much of what we talk about when we sit down here, Jason, is about trying to remain level-headed and keep our eyes on the big picture as opposed to the week-to-week. But there's nothing wrong with a good old-fashioned butt-kicking to get everybody in town excited about the Bears. Like that, they haven't had that, really.
Yeah. Dallas, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe in the second half.
There's always this standard for me of what would a good team do? Mm-hmm. What would a championship-caliber team, a contending team, do in whatever scenario that they happen to be in at Baltimore when Baltimore is bleeding points defensively and has their backup, their third-string quarterback, right. I should say, at home this week against the Giants? What would a good team do? A good team would handle the Giants with no problem. So that's kind of the target for me. The Bears aren't a contender.
Right.
They're
a playoff contender.
Yeah, but not a contender to like a championship contender. Right. I mean, so they're not at that level. But how close to that level can they be? That would tell me something about where they're actually at this season. So it's not a game with no stakes, even if you expect them to win. You want them to win in a way that shows you they're serious.
Not to bring it back to the way we started before we leave, but I'm going to do just that. The Bears didn't make a lot of moves, but neither did anybody in the NFC North. Ben Johnson talked Monday about, hey, we're in this thing. Anybody can win this thing. That's probably a little hyperbolic, I think. I would certainly rather be the Lions and the Packers than the Bears in this situation. But were you encouraged at all, and do you think they are encouraged by the fact that they made this one small move? None of the other three teams made a move at all.
I'm surprised that Green Bay and Detroit didn't do something. Mm-hmm. And Green Bay has already made their big move. That is a huge move.
We'll count that one. Yeah.
But – I mean, both those teams are, when we say the criteria for taking a big swing is, does that put you over the top for a championship?
Right.
Both those teams would say that it would. Mm-hmm. Green Bay might feel like they're already there. Detroit might feel like they're already there because Detroit's been in the final four teams standing, not last year, but quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been a contender for a few years now. So maybe those teams feel like, maybe they feel very confident going with what they have. But I'm a little surprised that one of the two of them didn't make a big move.
If you had to bet on a team right now to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, who would it be?
I think it's Green Bay.
You do?
Yeah, I think it's Green Bay.
I think I'd take the Eagles just on the basis of until somebody beats them.
That's not a bad pick. That's a sensible pick, too.
No, but I don't believe there's a juggernaut this year the way that there has been.
True. But if we talk about those two teams – Are the Bears in the weight class of those two teams?
No, the Bears weren't a Trey Hendrickson away from being in the same weight class. Jason, we'll talk more about the Giants from the Giants game at Soldier Field on Sunday. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out in print. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.